At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I quietly moved all our savings and filed for divorce while my wife was out cheating on me. I'm Arjun, 32, a glaciologist with the National Institute of Himalayan Studies. I spend months studying ice cores and glacier movements in some of the most remote places on Earth. My wife Priya, 30, is a textile conservator at the National Museum in Delhi. We've been married for 5 years, together for 8. Or at least, I thought we were together. It started in March when I returned from a 3-week expedition to Gangotra. Something was different about her. Not obvious, Priya's too smart for obvious. But after 8 years, you know when your partner's breathing pattern changes during sleep. You notice when they angle their phone screen away while texting. You catch the microsecond of panic when their phone rings during dinner. The late-night emergency restoration session started in April. Apparently, the museum had acquired a collection of 18th-century Pathani saris that needed immediate attention. Strange, considering textile conservation follows strict protocols about working hours to prevent fatigue-related mistakes. But I said nothing. I just nodded when she explained why she'd be home after midnight. The turning point came on April 27th. She said she was attending a conservation conference in Jaipur for the weekend. Kissed me goodbye, took her overnight bag, and left. I waited exactly 30 minutes before calling the Heritage Conservation Society. The helpful receptionist informed me that the Jaipur conference had been cancelled 3 weeks ago due to venue issues. I could have confronted her when she returned Sunday evening, glowing and refreshed from her conference. Could have demanded answers when she described workshops she never attended. Instead, I poured her wine and listened to her lies with the same expression I use when examining ice cores: clinical, detached, searching for patterns. The next morning, I hired a private investigator. Not some cheap hack, but a former raw intelligence officer who now runs a discreet consultancy. Cost me 50,000 rupees just for the retainer, but worth every peso. What he found within 2 weeks was beautifully damning. Rohit Malhotra, 35. Cinematographer specializing in documentary films. Married with 2 kids. He'd been hired by the museum to create a visual archive of their textile collection. The emergency sessions coincided perfectly with his shooting schedule. The Jaipur weekend? They'd stayed at the Rambaugh Palace, charged to our joint credit card under conservation expenses. My investigator provided everything: photos of them entering hotels, receipts from restaurants, even audio recordings of her phone conversations where she giggled like a teenager while telling him what she wanted to do to him. The most insulting part? She'd saved his number as Preeti, museum admin. Here's where most men would lose their SHT. Confront her, scream, maybe throw things. But I'm a scientist. I study ice that's been frozen for millennia. I understand patience. I understand how pressure and time can create devastating results. So I began my preparation. First, the money. We had 87 rupees locks in joint savings, my research grants, consultation fees, and her salary accumulated over years. I couldn't empty it overnight without raising suspicion. Instead, I started small. 50,000 rupees here for equipment purchases. 75,000 rupees there for field expedition funding. Each transfer backed by fabricated but convincing documentation. Over 6 weeks, I moved 73 rupees locks to my personal account, leaving just enough to avoid immediate detection. Second, the legal framework. I found advocate Meera Krishnan through a colleague who'd used her services. She was known in legal circles as the butcher, a woman who'd never lost an adultery case and took particular pleasure in destroying cheating spouses. Our first meeting lasted 3 hours. She reviewed my evidence, smiled like a shark scenting blood, and said, "Mr. Arjun, when I'm done with her, she'll wish she'd become a nun instead of a cheater." The documentation was meticulous. Every piece of evidence cataloged, notarized, and backed up in triplicate. The divorce petition wasn't just about adultery, it detailed emotional cruelty, financial fraud, those hotel charges, and breach of trust. Meera added provisions that would freeze Priya's access to joint assets pending investigation of her misuse of marital funds for extramarital activities. Third, the social demolition. Priya comes from a conservative Brahmin family in Lucknow. Her father is a retired judge, her mother a principal of a girls' college. They pride themselves on their spotless reputation. I prepared a special package for them, not out of cruelty, but strategic necessity. They needed to know their daughter's actions before she could spin a victim narrative. Fourth, the professional destruction. The National Museum has a morality clause in their employment contracts. Any behavior that brings disrepute to the institution is grounds for immediate termination. I had copies of every hotel receipt she'd claimed as work expenses, every fake overtime form she'd submitted. Museum donors are particularly sensitive about scandal. One anonymous tip to the right trustee would trigger an investigation she couldn't survive. The trap was set for June 15th, a Friday. She'd told me about another emergency session that evening. Rohit would be there for his final shoot before leaving for a project in Mumbai. I knew they'd celebrate the wrap. My investigator confirmed they had a room booked at the Leela Palace. But I wouldn't be sitting at home like a fool. I had my own appointment with our bank manager at 8 p.m. to finalize the last transfer and close her access to our joint accounts. The locksmith was scheduled for 9 p.m. Her belongings would be packed and delivered to her parents' house by 11 p.m. The divorce papers would be served at the museum on Monday morning during their monthly board meeting. She thinks I'm oblivious. Last night, she made love to me with what she probably thought was guilt-driven passion. I participated with the same detachment I use when extracting ice cores, mechanical precision without emotional investment. She fell asleep satisfied. I stayed awake planning. It's Thursday evening now. She's in the shower, humming some Bollywood song, getting ready for her Friday evening session. She has no idea that in 72 hours, her entire world will be frozen solid, and unlike glacier ice, it will never thaw. Some might ask why I don't just confront her, give her a chance to explain or apologize. Because I already know what she'd say. She'd cry, blame loneliness from my expeditions, promise it meant nothing, swear it would never happen again. And maybe, if I was a different man, I'd believe her. But I've spent my career studying how things break under pressure. Once a fracture starts in ice, it never truly heals. It just waits for the right conditions to shatter completely. The satisfaction isn't in the revenge itself. It's in the precision. Every move calculated, every contingency planned, every escape route blocked. She played me for a fool. But I'm the one who's been playing chess while she thought we were playing checkers. We'll update after execution. Update 1, 2 weeks later. The explosion was even more spectacular than I'd planned. Friday unfolded exactly as scripted. Priya left for her emergency session at 6 p.m., wearing the red sari I'd bought her for our anniversary. The irony wasn't lost on me. I kissed her goodbye, told her not to work too late, and watched her leave for the last time as my wife. At 8 p.m., I sat with our bank manager, Mr. Suresh, who'd known us since we opened our first joint account. He was uncomfortable processing the paperwork, especially the court order freezing her access pending divorce proceedings. "Sir, are you sure about this?" he asked. I showed him a single photo from my investigator's file. His expression shifted from concern to disgust. The transfers were completed in 15 minutes. The locksmith arrived at 9 p.m. sharp. Military veteran, no questions asked, cash payment. Both locks changed in 30 minutes. I stood in our, my, apartment, looking at 5 years of marriage about to be boxed away. Her things were packed with clinical efficiency by the moving crew. Clothes folded, jewelry boxed, even her precious restoration tools wrapped carefully. I wasn't destroying her possessions, I'm not a barbarian. I was surgically removing her from my life. At 11:47 p.m., she called. I didn't answer. 12:13 a.m., 7 missed calls. 12:27 a.m., baby, my key isn't working. Think the lock is jammed. 12:31 a.m., Arjun, please pick up. I'm outside. 12:45 a.m., what the F is happening? Why won't you answer? 1:03 a.m., the security guard says you changed the locks. This isn't funny. 1:15 a.m., pounding on the door. Screaming my name. The neighbors later told me it went on for 20 minutes. I sat in my study, noise-canceling headphones on, reviewing glacier retreat data from the previous expedition. The doorbell camera recorded everything, her progression from confusion to anger to hysteria. When she finally called Rohit for help, he didn't answer. His wife had received an anonymous package that afternoon containing photos of him entering hotels with my wife. He was dealing with his own nuclear winter. She spent the night at a friend's place. Saturday was quiet, the eye of the storm. She tried calling 38 times. Sent over 100 messages ranging from apologetic to threatening. My favorite, you can't just throw me out. I have rights. Mira had prepared me for this. In India, A husband cannot technically evict his wife without court orders, but she'd have to file a case to enforce that right. By then, other proceedings would overtake her claim. Sunday, she went to her parents' house in Lucknow. They'd received my package Saturday morning, photos, hotel receipts, and a respectful letter explaining why their daughter would no longer be my wife. Her father called me once. The retired judge's voice was steady but broken. "You did the right thing, Beta. We failed somewhere in raising her. I'm sorry."
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Her mother didn't call. I heard she had to be sedated. Monday, June 19th. D-Day. The museum's monthly board meeting started at 10 a.m. Every trustee, major donors, department heads, all gathered in the Heritage Committee room. Priya walked in at 9:45 a.m., probably hoping routine would restore normalcy to her shattered weekend. At 10:15 a.m., just as the chairman was discussing the quarterly acquisition budget, a court officer entered. The room fell silent as he asked for Mrs. Priya Arjun. She stood up, her face draining of color. He handed her the envelope, obtained her signature, and left. She opened it there, in front of everyone. Started reading. Her hands shook, actually shook, not the melodramatic trembling you see in movies, but the micro tremors of someone whose nervous system is shutting down from shock. The petition was a masterpiece of legal brutality. Adultery with Rohit Malhotra, complete with dates, times, and photographic evidence indexes. Misappropriation of marital funds for extramarital conduct. Emotional cruelty through systematic deception. Breach of marital trust. Each charge supported by references to annexed evidence. But Mira's genius stroke was the financial fraud section. Every hotel booking Priya had charged to our credit card was listed as fraudulent use of joint marital assets. Every fake overtime claim she'd filed to cover her absences was documented as obtaining money by deception from employer. The museum's legal liability was subtly implied without direct accusation. The chairman, Mr. Bhandari, a 70-year-old industrialist who donated crores to the museum, looked at her with the expression one reserves for something scraped off a shoe. "Mrs. Priya, I think you should take the day off. Actually, take several days. HR will contact you." She didn't collapse dramatically. Real devastation doesn't look like movies. She simply stopped functioning. Stood there, papers in hand, mouth slightly open, eyes unfocused. Security had to escort her out because she couldn't process how to leave on her own. By afternoon, the gossip network had activated. Delhi's cultural circle is smaller than people think. Every WhatsApp group in the museum community had some version of the story. The conservator who FK'd around and found out. The cinematographer whose wife threw him out. The glacier scientist who served revenge colder than Arctic ice. Rohit's situation imploded parallelly. His wife didn't just kick him out, she called his production house. Turns out, adultery violates the morality clause in his contract too. Documentary filmmaking relies on trust and reputation. Nobody wants their story told by someone who can't honor basic commitments. He lost 3 projects within a week. But here's the thing about calculating revenge, you have to be prepared for counterstrikes. Priya tried several. The sympathy play, she called my mother, crying about how lonely she'd been, how my expeditions left her vulnerable. My mother, who'd raised 3 sons alone while my father worked in Merchant Navy, told her, "Loneliness doesn't make you spread your legs for another woman's husband," and hung up. The legal threat, she hired a lawyer who called Mira about negotiating a settlement. Mira laughed and sent him our evidence files index, just the index, not the actual evidence. 23 pages listing photos, recordings, documents. He dropped her case the next day. The social media victim card, she posted on Instagram about narcissistic abuse and controlling husbands. I had anticipated this. My investigator had archived her social media history, posts from hotels with Rohit, tagged locations during her conferences, even a draft post she'd written but not published saying some secrets make life worth living. Her friends saw through the victim act quickly. The reconciliation attempt, this was the most pathetic. She showed up at my institute, waiting outside my lab in the same red sari. Started with tears, moved to promises, ended with threats of self-harm. I called her father and security. He collected her within an hour, apologizing profusely for the disturbance. It's been 2 weeks now. The divorce is fast-tracked, thanks to the overwhelming evidence. She's lost her job, the museum terminated her for gross misconduct and financial irregularities. Her reputation in the conservation community is destroyed. No institution will hire someone who falsified overtime claims for affairs. The financial settlement was swift. The court accepted that funds transferred before filing were legitimate personal transactions. The flat ownership was already 80% in my name since I'd paid the majority for my research grants before marriage. She gets her jewelry, personal belongings, and the 14 rupees locks remaining in joint accounts. No alimony since she's educated and employable, theoretically. Rohit's marriage ended too. His wife took the kids and moved to her parents' place in Bangalore. He's been reduced to freelance work, but even that's drying up. The film community talks, and nobody wants to work with someone whose personal drama might overshadow their project. Last I heard, Priya moved back with her parents permanently. Her father retired from public life, unable to face the shame in court circles. Her mother stopped attending her kiddie parties and social gatherings. The family that prided itself on three generations of spotless reputation now carries the stain of a cheating daughter. Some colleagues think I went too far. That I should have just divorced her quietly, let her keep some dignity. But here's what they don't understand: dignity isn't something you grant to someone who betrayed you. It's something you preserve for yourself by ensuring the betrayal has consequences. I'm returning to Gangotra next month for another expedition. This time, I won't have to lie to myself about what's waiting at home. The ice cores I study are millions of years old, preserving the truth of their time perfectly. My marriage was built on lies, preserving nothing but deception. Better to shatter it completely than let it slowly melt into nothing. The revenge is complete, but the satisfaction isn't in her destruction. It's in my liberation. Update 2, 1 month later. I thought it was over. I was wrong. The past month has been an exercise in watching someone repeatedly try to resurrect what's already been cremated. Priya has cycled through every stage of grief except acceptance, and each attempt to salvage her life has only driven her deeper into the permafrost. Let me update you on the casualties of war. Priya's professional annihilation. After the museum terminated her, she applied to 17 different institutions across India. Every single one rejected her. See, the conservation community is tiny and interconnected. When the National Museum fires someone for financial irregularities and moral turpitude, word spreads faster than wildfire in dried grass. But here's what she didn't know: I hadn't actively sabotaged these applications. I didn't need to. Her former supervisor, Dr. Rashmi Sharma, was so disgusted by the fake overtime claims that she personally called her contacts at other museums to warn them. Hire her if you want, but don't say I didn't warn you about what she does during emergency restoration sessions. She tried freelance restoration work. Got one client, an old textile collector in Jaipur. The job lasted 3 days before he Googled her name. My divorce petition is now public record. First search result. He paid her for the 3 days and asked her not to return. The Rohit saga. This bastard actually had the audacity to call me. Not to apologize, but to blame me for overreacting and ruining lives over a harmless connection. Harmless. He called F. King my wife a harmless connection. I didn't argue. Instead, I sent his wife the complete investigation file, not just the photos she'd already seen, but the audio recordings. There's one particular recording where he describes, in graphic detail, what he did to my wife in our bed. Yes, our bed. They used our apartment when I was on expeditions. The security footage from our building confirmed it. His wife didn't just divorce him. She filed a criminal complaint for mental cruelty and is pursuing damages. Under Section 497 changes, adultery isn't criminal anymore, but the mental cruelty aspect stands. She's also suing for full custody citing moral turpitude. He's fighting it with whatever money he has left after losing his production contracts. Last week, he was spotted driving for Uber. From cinematographer filming for National Geographic to driving drunk kids home at 2 a.m. The universe has a sense of humor. The family fallout. Priya's extended family has essentially excommunicated her. In conservative Brahmin families, reputation is currency, and she's bankrupt. Her cousin's wedding happened last week, she wasn't invited. Her own cousin. The invitation explicitly stated close family only when extended relatives from Canada were attending. Her father hasn't spoken to her in 3 weeks. He provides shelter and food but refuses to engage beyond basic necessities. Her mother develops stress-induced hypertension and blames Priya openly. I heard from a mutual friend that dinner at their house is silent torture, three people eating without a word, the only sound being steel against ceramic. Her younger brother, who works in Singapore, hasn't called once. He removed her from all social media and told their parents she's dead to him. Harsh? Maybe. But he's engaged to a girl from an equally conservative family, and association with Priya could tank that relationship. The desperation moves. 2 weeks ago, she tried something new, showing up at my research presentation at IIT Delhi. Full auditorium, discussing glacier retreat patterns and climate change implications. She sat in the front row, wearing the dress from our first date, thinking her presence would rattle me. I delivered my entire 90-minute presentation without acknowledging her existence. Not a glance, not a stutter, nothing. When she tried approaching during the Q&A, security, pre-warned by me, escorted her out. The entire academic community saw her being removed. Another nail in her professional coffin. She then tried contacting my PhD supervisor, Professor Weatherby at Cambridge, claiming I was having a mental breakdown and needed intervention. He forwarded me her email with a single line, "Your ex-wife seems to be projecting. Congratulations on the divorce, by the way." The financial desperation is setting in too. Without a job and with legal fees mounting, she's burning through her savings. She tried selling her jewelry but discovered that most pieces were gifts from my family, technically making them streeten but also morally complicated to sell. Local jewelers, aware of the scandal, offer insulting prices. The plot twist. Here's something I didn't see coming. Remember how I mentioned Rohit was married with two kids? Turns out, Priya wasn't his only affair. His wife's lawyer uncovered four other women over the past 3 years. Priya wasn't special, she was just another in a rotation. When Priya found out, she called me crying. Actually crying. Not the manipulative tears from before, but genuine devastation. She kept saying, "I destroyed everything for someone who didn't even love me." I listened for exactly 30 seconds before hanging up. Her realization changes nothing. My current state. People ask if I'm happy. Wrong question. Happiness implies an emotional investment in the outcome. I'm satisfied. There's a difference. My work has never been better. The isolation and focus required for analyzing climate data suits my current mindset perfectly. I've published two papers in the last month, both accepted by top-tier journals. My director approved funding for a 6-month Antarctic expedition starting December. I've started seeing someone, nothing serious. Dr. Kavya, a paleoclimatologist from JNU. She knows my history, respects my boundaries, and understands that trust, once shattered, reforms differently. We discuss ice cores and extinction events over coffee. It's comfortable. The flat feels different now. Not empty, but purposeful. Every object serves a function without the decorative chaos of a relationship. My study has expanded into what was once our bedroom. The living room is now a library. The kitchen contains exactly what I need, nothing more. The legal resolution. The divorce was finalized yesterday. June 30th. Exactly 45 days from filing, has to be some sort of record for contested divorces. But when one party has documented evidence of adultery, financial fraud, and the other party's lawyer quits, things move quickly. Final settlement. She gets 14 rupees lakhs from the joint account. Her jewelry and personal belongings. No alimony, she's employable even if nobody will employ her. No share in the flat, premarital asset with my majority payment. No claim on my future earnings or research grants. She signed without protest. What choice did she have? The aftermath continues. Her latest attempt is reinvention. She started a blog about surviving narcissistic abuse and rebuilding after trauma. 17 followers, mostly bots. Every post is a thinly veiled attack on me, but she's careful not to use names, defamation laws and all. The conservation community has essentially blacklisted her. There's no official list, but when every major conservator in India knows your story, you're done. She's been reduced to offering restoration services on Facebook Marketplace. Last week, someone hired her to clean an old painting. Paid her 500 rupees. From 75,000 rupees monthly salary to 500 rupees gigs. Rohit tried to reconcile with his wife last week. She laughed in his face and posted the security footage of him being thrown out on Instagram. It went viral in Delhi film circles. He's now completely unemployable in any capacity requiring trust or reputation. The lesson? Someone asked me if I feel guilty about the completeness of her destruction. I don't. She made choices. I simply ensured those choices had consequences. Every action was legal, every move within my rights, every revelation simply truth exposed. She had everything, a loving husband, a respectable career, a good family, financial security. She threw it away for excitement. Now she has all the excitement of poverty, isolation, and disgrace. The glacier doesn't care about the avalanche it causes when it calves. It simply follows the laws of physics. I returned to Antarctica in December. 6 months on the ice, studying formations older than human civilization. When I return, Priya will be just another sediment layer in my past, present once, but ultimately insignificant in the geological timeline of my life. The opposite of love isn't hate. It's indifference. And I've achieved absolute zero. Update 3, 3 months later. I'm writing this from Maitri Station, Antarctica. It's been 3 months since my last update, and the view from 70 degrees south gives remarkable clarity about everything that happened. The Aurora Australis is active tonight, sheets of green light dancing across the endless ice. Beautiful and cold, like justice. Before I left India, there were some final developments worth documenting. The unraveling complete. November was when Priya hit absolute bottom. Her parents finally asked her to leave. Not kicked out dramatically, her father simply said, "Your presence is killing your mother. Please find alternative accommodation." She rented a PG in Munirka, South Delhi. From a 3 BHK flat in Saket to a paying guest accommodation sharing bathroom with three other women. The landlady, who googled all tenants, charges her extra reputation insurance. She finally found work, digitizing records for a small export house in Okhla. 18,000 rupees per month. The owner hired her specifically because her scandal means she'll never find better. He knows she's trapped. The commute is 2 hours each way by bus. I know this because she posted about new beginnings on LinkedIn, trying to spin data entry as archival management. The Rohit epilogue. He fled Delhi. His wife's criminal case and the custody battle destroyed whatever remained of his reputation. Last confirmed location was Goa, where he's apparently working as a photographer for beach shacks and trance parties. From documentary cinematographer to taking Instagram photos of drunk Russians. His wife got full custody, the house, and 75% of his assets. The court considered his adultery pattern as evidence of moral bankruptcy. Here's the savage part, his own parents testified against him. His mother actually told the judge, "We raised him better than this. Give the children to their mother." An unexpected visitor. A week before I left for Antarctica, Priya's father came to see me. Mr. Justice, retired, Pranab Sharma, age 67, broken by his daughter's actions. He didn't come to plead her case or ask for mercy. He came to apologize. "Beta," he said, "I spent 40 years judging others' failures. I never imagined I'd failed so fundamentally in my own home." He brought a box, every piece of jewelry my family had given Priya over the years. "These belong to your family. She has no right to them." We sat in silence for 10 minutes, two men understanding that some breaks can't be repaired. Before leaving, he said something that stays with me, "You showed more respect for our family by exposing her than she showed by hiding her actions. Thank you for the truth, however painful." The professional wasteland. The Indian Museum Association had their annual conference in October. Priya tried to attend, bought a day pass as a freelance conservator. She lasted 2 hours. Every conversation died when she approached. Every group dispersed. Dr. Rashmi Sharma, her former supervisor, publicly snubbed her in front of 50 colleagues. Someone live tweeted her isolation, watching social and professional leprosy in real time at hashtag IMA2024. You know who I mean? 67 retweets. The conservation community isn't just small, it's vicious when you betray its trust. She applied for a government position at the Archaeological Survey of India. Cleared the written exam, and failed the background check. Turns out, being terminated for financial irregularities bars you from government service for 7 years. She didn't know this. Her father definitely did but didn't warn her. Even he wants her to suffer. The Antarctica perspective. I'm here studying ice cores that are 800,000 years old. They contain the memory of the planet, every volcanic eruption, every climate shift, every mass extinction event preserved in crystalline clarity. No lies, no deception, just truth frozen in time. My colleague here, Dr. Petrov from Russia, knows my story. Yesterday, while extracting a core sample, he said, "In Siberia, we have saying, when you seek warmth in another's bed, don't be surprised when your own becomes frozen." Russian wisdom hits different at minus 40 degrees Celsius. The isolation here is therapeutic. 6 months of ice, research, and absolute silence except for wind and generators. No drama, no pretense, no betrayal. Just science and survival. My quarterly evaluation came back with the highest ratings. Turns out, emotional detachment is an asset when you're studying climate collapse. The digital footprint. Priya tried scrubbing her digital presence, but the internet never forgets. Her name is permanently associated with the scandal. First Google result, museum conservator's affair exposed in brutal divorce. Second result, the public divorce filing. Third, a Reddit thread on r/deli discussing the museum cheating scandal. She created new profiles under her maiden name, but employment background checks reveal everything. HR departments aren't stupid. They see a 5-year gap where her married name should be and investigate. The truth always surfaces, like bodies in melting permafrost. The financial decimation. My lawyer sent me the final accounting. After legal fees, moving costs, and lost income, Priya burned through 11 rupees lakhs of her 14 lakh rupee settlement. She has 3 rupees lakhs left. At her current salary, saving is impossible. She's one medical emergency away from destitution. Meanwhile, my Antarctic assignment comes with hardship pay, making my monthly earnings more than her annual salary. The papers I'm publishing here will likely secure my promotion to senior scientist next year. Success, as they say, is the best revenge. But success after revenge? That's just showing off. A moment of clarity. Last month, through a mutual friend, I learned Priya attempted therapy. The psychologist, after 3 sessions, told her she needed to accept responsibility before healing could begin. Priya accused the therapist of being biased and quit. Even professional help can't penetrate her delusion. She still tells people I overreacted. That I destroyed her over a mistake. That's like saying the Titanic overreacted to the iceberg. The ship was always going to sink, the ice just determined when. The long game. Here's what Priya never understood, I wasn't just ending a marriage. I was setting a precedent. Every mutual friend who sided with her initially has quietly retreated after seeing the evidence. Her story has become a cautionary tale in Delhi's middle-class circles. My mother, who initially worried I'd been too harsh, now uses Priya as an example when lecturing my younger cousins about marriage. Choose correctly, or end up like Priya, no job, no family, no future. The ripple effects continue. Her brother's engagement was almost called off when his fiancée's family learned about the scandal. He had to provide character references and sign an additional prenuptial agreement. He'll never forgive her for almost costing him his marriage. The ice teaches. Antarctica teaches you about absolute states. Water freezes at 0 degrees Celsius. No negotiation, no compromise. Below that, it's ice, above that, it's water. Simple. Binary. Honest. Human relationships pretend to be complex, but they're equally binary. Faithful or unfaithful. Honest or deceptive. Trustworthy or not. Priya thought she could exist in both states simultaneously. She learned that's not how physics, or marriage, works. I'll be here 3 more months. When I return to India in March, it'll be exactly 1 year since I discovered her affair. A full revolution, like the Earth around the Sun, except I'm not where I started. I'm in a better orbit entirely. Final observation. The aurora australis is intensifying now. Charged particles from the Sun colliding with our atmosphere, creating beauty from cosmic violence. It's a perfect metaphor, destruction creating something spectacular. My marriage had to be destroyed completely for me to see clearly. No partial measures, no half forgiveness, no trying to salvage what was contaminated. Complete annihilation followed by reconstruction on clean ground. Priya still texts occasionally. Blocked on my phone, she uses different numbers. The messages range from apologetic to angry to desperate. I don't read them anymore. They're just noise, like the wind outside, present but irrelevant. Tomorrow, we drill for cores that predate human civilization. I'll hold ice that formed when trust meant survival and betrayal meant death. Simple times. Better times. Frozen times. The temperature here is minus 42 degrees Celsius tonight. Still warmer than my feelings toward my ex-wife. Final update, 6 months later. I returned from Antarctica 2 weeks ago. 6 months on the ice changed me in ways I didn't anticipate. This will be my last update because, frankly, Priya has become irrelevant to my existence. But you deserve to know how this saga truly ends. The return. Landing in Delhi after 6 months feels like arriving on an alien planet. The heat, the noise, the chaos, everything Antarctica isn't. My first stop was my flat. Clean, organized, exactly as I left it. No ghosts, no memories, just space that belongs solely to me. The stack of mail included several letters from Priya, forwarded from my institute. I fed them to the shredder unread. Whatever words she wrote died unnamed, like the relationship they were trying to resurrect. The current state of destruction. My lawyer updated me on Priya's status. It's worse than rock bottom, it's the Mariana Trench of existence. She lost the data entry job. Turns out, showing up late repeatedly because of a 2-hour commute and depression isn't sustainable. Her PG accommodation kicked her out for non-payment. She's living with a distant aunt in Faridabad, traveling 4 hours daily for interviews she won't clear. Her LinkedIn shows a 6-month gap now. In the conservative Indian job market, unexplained gaps are career SCD. Add her Googleable scandal, and she's effectively unemployable in any respectable position. The conservation community held a memorial service for Dr. Rashmi Sharma, who passed away while I was in Antarctica. Priya attended. Nobody sat near her. She left after 10 minutes when it became clear she was unwelcome even at a funeral. Imagine being so professionally destroyed that your presence disrespects the dead. Rohit's denouement. He never recovered. Still in Goa, last I heard. His wife remarried, a surgeon from IIMS. His kids call the new man Papa. His parents held a ceremony to formally disown him, literally removing his name from family records. In traditional families, that's worse than death, it's erasure. Someone sent me his Instagram. Bio reads, photographer, filmmaker, living the beach life. Posts get 12 to 15 likes. From National Geographic to shooting menu cards for beach cafes. Every sunset photo he posts is a monument to his demolished career. The unexpected development. Dr. Kavya and I are together now. Not rebounds or convenience, but something built on shared interests and mutual respect. She understood my Antarctica assignment, even encouraged it. Go study your ice, she said. I'll be here studying mine. She's brilliant, just published a paper on Himalayan glacial lake outburst floods that's getting international attention. We discuss climate models over dinner and debate carbon sequestration during morning runs. She knows my past, respects my boundaries, and doesn't try to heal what isn't broken. We're moving in together next month. Not into my old flat, that's being converted into a home office. We found a new place near JNU, closer to her lab. Fresh start, no shadows. The family resolution? Priya's parents filed for legal disownment last month. In Hindu law, it's mostly symbolic, but the symbolism matters. Her father sent me the legal notice copy with a note, closure for all of us. Her brother got married in February. She wasn't invited, wasn't mentioned, doesn't exist in the wedding album. The photographer was instructed to avoid any angle that might accidentally capture her if she showed up. She didn't. My mother met Kavya last week. First thing she said, thank God, a woman with her own career and no interest in emergency overtime. Dark humor, but healing happens in strange ways. The professional triumph. My Antarctica research earned recognition from the International Glaciological Society. 2 papers in Nature Climate Change, 1 in Science. The promotion to senior scientist was confirmed with retrospective effect. My new salary is more than what Priya and I made combined. Next month, I'm leading a team to Siachen Glacier, a project I conceived, funded, and will execute. My name will be on every publication. The boy who was cuckolded is now the man commanding respect in international scientific circles. The irony? The National Museum wants to collaborate on a climate change exhibition focusing on textile preservation and changing conditions. They reached out to me, carefully mentioning they have a new team handling conservation. Priya's replacement is younger, more qualified, and ironically, married to one of my junior researchers. The chance encounter. Last week, I saw her at Saket Metro Station. She didn't see me, I was on the platform above. She looked diminished. Not just older or tired, but fundamentally reduced. Like a photocopy of a photocopy, losing resolution with each iteration. She was carrying a cloth bag from Sarojini Nagar, wearing a kurta I recognized from our marriage. The woman who once spent 15,000 rupees on a sari was now shopping in second-hand markets. She got into the general compartment as I watched from the AC tier. I felt nothing. Not satisfaction, not pity, not anger. Nothing. The opposite of love truly is indifference, and I've achieved it absolutely. The final conversation. She called from her aunt's phone yesterday. I almost didn't answer, but curiosity won. I know you hate me, she started. I don't, I replied. Hate requires emotional investment. You're nothing to me, silence. Then, I destroyed everything for nothing. Yes. Do you ever think about us? I think about the tax benefits I lost filing as single. Otherwise, no. Arjun, I'm drowning. Then swim. Or don't. Neither outcome affects me. How did you become so cold? I studied ice for a living. You taught me to apply it to life. She cried. I hung up. Blocked the number. Continued my evening. The philosophical close. People ask if I forgive her. Wrong framework. Forgiveness implies the transgression still matters. It doesn't. She's a footnote in my story, not a chapter. Others wonder if I'm capable of trust again. Kavya asked me this once. I told her, I trust you to be who you are, not who I want you to be. She understood. That's why we work. The truth about revenge isn't that it feels good or bad. Done correctly, it feels like nothing. You remove a cancer, you don't have a relationship with the tumor afterward. You just live cancer-free. Priya wanted passion, the excitement of secrets, the thrill of deception, the heat of affair.
Wayfair's Labor Day clearance is here. Right now, score up to 70% off everything home, plus fast shipping on everything right to your door. Shop now through September 2nd at wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Fair. She got it. Now she lives with the ashes. Meanwhile, I found something better in ice, clarity, preservation, and truth that doesn't melt under pressure. The actual end. This is my last update because there's nothing left to update. Priya exists somewhere in the NCR region, surviving on fragments of a life she demolished. Rohit exists in Goa, photographing tourists and hangovers. They're both alive but not living, the difference between existence and life is agency, and they surrendered theirs for momentary pleasure. I'm flying to Svalbard next month for an international conference where I'm presenting on Asian glacier retreat patterns. Kavya's coming with me. We'll see the Northern Lights together, her first time. We're planning to stay an extra week, just us and the Arctic silence. My life moved on. Theirs stopped. That's not revenge, it's just consequence. The ancient ice I study teaches a fundamental truth: preservation requires consistent conditions. The moment you introduce heat where it doesn't belong, everything collapses. Priya introduced heat into our marriage. The collapse was inevitable. I just ensured it was complete. To everyone who followed this journey, thank you. May your relationships be honest, your trust well-placed, and your revenge, if ever needed, be absolute. And to anyone considering an affair, Google Priya Textile Conservator Delhi scandal first. See what complete destruction looks like. Then decide if that orgasm is worth your entire existence. I'm done here. The ice is calling, and unlike humans, it never lies. Thank you so much for watching until the end. If you really like our videos, please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Have a great day.